ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
ABC Sport.
It's over and late.
End of the over. Bales are flicked off.
We're heading off for a refreshment and a meat pie.
And that ends the morning session.
That is lunch.
You're listening to Grandstand at Lunch.
On your radio.
ABC Sport Digital.
And take us with you on the ABC Listen app.
The question at the start of the day was whether England would show some fight. Well, the answer is yes, led by Ben Stokes, who's 36 not out, and Will Jacks, who's there on 25, as England were able to hang about in this Gabba Test match. Dobbin tries again, pushing across the lefty, and Stokes, full-blooded cover drive, superb. Away for four, and the England skipper trying to lead this fight back for England, hopped all over that. So the first task was making sure they got themselves set and avoided early wickets on day four. The second thing to tick off was to wipe off the deficit and ensure that this match would reach a fourth innings and that the Aussies would have to bat again. Green with his shirt out, flapping in the breeze, bowls short and it's pulled away, not quite out the middle of the bat. Jacks will get a single for it. Doggett runs around from mid on to retrieve it. Some single take at 6 for 178. The English fans are on their feet.
Yes.
England's in front. How about it? 16 runs is the lead for England. They bat through the first session on day four. Jacks 25, Stokes 36. Lead is 16. England 6 for 193 in their second innings as we reach lunch on day four at the Gabba. This is Grandstand at Lunch. My name's Corbin Middlemass. It's great to have you with us. My very special guest is about to join me, a man who's been on the Vespa across the country and has still got a few more kilometres to tick off yet, that he's here at the Gabba. More on all of that in just a moment, but first let's go straight to Royal Melbourne because there has been a thrilling finish at the Australian Open Golf. Matt Clinch is there. Clinchy.
Corbin, it's not quite the result in which the gallows were hoping for. Cameron Smith had a 5 foot uphill putt to try and force a playoff and he missed it to the left hand side. So Dane Rasmus Neergaard Pedersen wins the Australian Open here at Royal Melbourne in front of 33,400. He had to play a flop shot just to the right of the bunker, was able to chip it up, left himself a 10-foot putt for par. He knocked it in, and Cameron Smith couldn't do so. So Smith still chasing his first ever Australian national title, but Rasmus Neergaard Pedersen also gets the Stonehaven Cup and inclusion to next year's Masters.
Thanks, Clinchy. Appreciate that. Well done to him. More details from Clinchy coming up a little later during Grandstand at Lunch. The man alongside me is a man by the name of Scott Stokes, who I'm pleased to say joins me. He's decked out in the Aussie cricket gear. He is a passionate cricket fan. He's also a Vespa rider. I've got a whole lot to chat to you about. But, Scott, appreciate your time on ABC Sport.
Oh, thanks very much. Thanks for having me on.
You're a Canberran?
Canberran. Yep.
And I read a story on you on the ABC website a short time ago, which basically spoke about the fact that you are riding your Vespa to every single test this summer.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, 14,000 kilometres it'll be in the end. And, yeah, it's been a bucket list item of me to go to every day of every test, here and in England, if
yes,
that can be pulled off. Yeah, because you never really win the Ashes unless you've won here and overseas. But it would be amazing if that could be pulled off as well.
I got lots of questions. So first of all, when did you first get a Vespa? Where did that come about?
Yeah, I've always liked Vespas. They're that sort of romantic Italian styling sort of vehicle, and I've always really liked them. And I bought one at the start of the year. Yeah, I became medically retired at the start of the year and bought that. And it's just changed my life, the Vespa. And then the possibility of doing this turned up and. Yeah, here we are.
Amazing. Whose idea was it?
Well, I raised it. I had time, given I was retired, so I said to my wife I could probably go to every day of every test, and she was sort of agreed. And then I stupidly said, oh, I could ride Vespa to all the Ashes, and she didn't tell me it was a stupid idea. So, and then that's become a reality.
Yeah. So Australia's a massive country, as we know. A lot of us have, yep, you know, sat on aeroplanes, and you look down, and there's not a whole lot for miles and miles and miles. How does the little Vespa go making it the long trips on the road?
She goes pretty well. I can puddle along at about 90 to get range. She will be able to go 100 because she's a newer Vespa, but I go to 90 for range. 180 to 200 kilometres is what I can get. We've got a big windscreen on the front that acts like a brake, and so if depending on the wind conditions. That's about the range. And the longest distance was 190 kilometres along the Nullarbor between petrol stations, and so that was a bit sketchy. Got a jerry can, so that was okay.
That was my next question about, I imagine you'd have to plot that all out, the petrol stations and the restopping at the right time.
Yeah, it's a bit of a palaver actually, because the engine's under the seat, so the petrol tank's under the seat as well, so I have to unpack all the bags to put petrol in and then repack them all on top and then go again, and then 100 kilometres down the road, unpack, repack and go again. And yeah, it's
How long are you on the road on any one day?
About from Broken Hill to Bourke was 640 kilometres, and I left there about 7, and I got into Bourke about 6. Yeah, so a long time on the bike. Yeah, the backside was very happy to have had a nice cushioned bed to sit on.
The other thing I thought of when I think of those wide open roads, obviously across the Nullarbor, is clearly the big trucks and the road trains that come flying through. You're on this little Vespa. How do you go contending with them?
Yeah, it's a bit of a dance. The ones coming from behind, you've got to be really careful, just watchful all the time in the mirror. And when they come up, pull over as much as you can to the left-hand side of the road because there's not a lot of runoff, and then sort of wave them by. And they're really good, the truck drivers. They go around and they do the blinker thing to give me a bit of a wave. But one truck driver, he only gave me about a metre of space, and I was right on the edge. If I had gone off, I probably would have fallen off. And, that suction of the truck sort of comes in, and it was a triple as it go by, so time slowed down to a crawl then. That was a bit sketchy. The ones coming the other way though, it's like a wall of air hits you, and it's like a break.
And so were you listening to anything at the time? You can obviously hear books. Or see them coming. And,
listen to audiobooks. So it's just keeping aware of where they are. Yeah,
Canberran Scott Stokes is with me on ABC Sport. This is Grandstand at Lunch. He is riding, not driving, which I got told off for before by our esteemed producer, that you don't drive a Vespa,
you ride a Vespa.
But you are riding your Vespa, obviously, all across the country to attend every single day of this year's Ashes Test, and already you've done a hell of a journey, which is obviously Canberra to Perth.
Yeah.
Perth to Brisbane.
Yeah, 8,700 kilometres.
Wow.
It is so far.
So the early finish in Perth, did that help or hinder your course, given the fact it was all over in 2 days?
Yeah, it's a bit of both. I was able to leave a day early, which meant I was less time on the bike, but I followed the same pathway. And I wanted to get to Broken Hill sort of as quickly as I can in the day, because there's lots to see in Broken Hill. It's quite a good art centre, and there was Mad Max 2 Museum just out from it, which was quite a sight. So, yeah. And
awesome. Any close calls or unexpected little hiccups along the way?
The wildlife, of course. Yeah, there was some. Out near Bourke, I came up against a cow. A cow was just on the road, and I wasn't going to go around it, so I stopped. And it was a full Dundee moment, Crocodile Dundee. I was just staring at this cow on the side of the road, and I was looking at it just after about a minute, shook its head and run off.
Came to a complete stop.
Come to a complete stop. Yeah, and the weirdest one was heading up to Balranald, where a crab went across the road, about the size of my hand, ran across. I had to dodge it. I would have run over it.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a crab. Yeah, who would have thought a crab?
That's not what you'd expect to see on the wide open road driving from Perth to Brisbane. So what are you doing in between the test matches? So apart from obviously travelling to different cities and different ports, have you got it mapped out that you need to be in a certain spot on every day?
I've got
day one.
My spreadsheet's 406 lines long, where every petrol station's mapped out and things to see along the way as well. So out of here, I'll head down the mountains, because I've been out in the outback, a lot of straight and flat, and lots of barren. So I'm going to head down the mountains, so the Brisbane Mountains and northern New South Wales, down to Bathurst.
Yep.
But before I get there, I'm going to go to Ebor, where the waterfall way, where there's lots of really nice waterfalls along there, and then a couple of laps around Bathurst, and then head across to Adelaide. Yeah, I'll get to Adelaide a day early, so I might pop out and get a treat from the winery.
Scott Stokes, who's riding his Vespa across the country following every single Ashes test with me on Grandstand at Lunch. Obvious question I probably should have asked. Your surname's Stokes.
Stokes, yeah.
Any relation?
No relation. I was saying before that my first name's Scott, so I'm fully covered out there.
Yes. Got it. Yes. You're obviously a diehard cricket fan. Yeah. So where did your love of cricket come from? And obviously this is a pretty extreme way to make sure you're there to follow all of it.
And to be fair, it came from the ABC. When I was younger, ABC used to play the cricket before Channel 9. There was sort of a time where Channel 9 and the ABC used to play it together. And I used to love the ABC because you got to see the change of ends and just see what the players were doing at the change of ends instead of an ad. And I really, that was a real big thing for me, watching them do that. And I can just remember watching that for hours. And then my dad would be out in the garden and he'd be listening to it, and then there'd be a wicket fall, so then straight in there, you'd be watching the replays, and then back out, you'd be back in the garden.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and it just sort of went from there. It's just such a good game. Test cricket especially is such a good game of cricket. It's especially test match cricket like this, where there's real struggles. You've got to fight, and you've got to, there's some times where you can go a bit harder, but you've really got to fight for everything, both bowling and batting, and that's a real true test of cricket and a cricketer. Mm.
Early heroes, favourite players, anyone that particularly sticks in the memory bank?
Sorry, walking through here, coming in here, Alan Border passes by.
Yeah.
Obviously Boof. And Tuffers, oh my God, watching Tuffers play. He was one of my favourite players, actually. It was really, really great time, him and Greg Matthews and all those guys. Yeah.
Now, is this a ride just purely for your love of cricket? Because I'm thinking in all of this, I thought, surely there's an easier way to get around. It might not necessarily even be the cheapest way, given you've got to fuel up all the time and obviously have various stops in unusual places. But is there a greater cause behind the Vespa across the country?
Yeah, it's a personal journey for me. It's a mental health journey for me. I had a significant event happen to me at the end of 2020, life was not great up until sort of about a year ago. A couple of years ago, I ended up in ICU, and then a year later, I ended up being medically retired, and that's when I bought Vanessa, and she just completely changed my life. Being on her is a real sense of mindfulness. I didn't understand mindfulness until I got on the bike, and you really have to be aware of what you're doing, because no matter whose fault, you're going to come off worse, so you need to be mindful. And when you're mindful like that, you can't think, you can't ruminate, you can't do anything. And so I was at a stage where I thought I should time to challenge myself a little bit mentally, and so I decided to do this to see how strong I was and where I'm at mentally, and it's been really great. First 4 days were not great, but since then it's been tremendous.
Good on you. That's awesome. What a cool story and a great way to do it. How can people follow your trip?
I've only been through Facebook. I just posted a lot of stuff on Facebook, so I'm happy for I don't have a private profile, so I'm happy for people to search me out. But it was a bit too much of a stretch to sort of put it out there, even to sort of try and raise money or do it for charity. That was a bit too much mentally for me, and so I just thought I would just post it on Facebook, and so you can search me out and look through there.
You enjoying it so far?
Oh, it's been amazing. Yeah, the first test match was a bit of a shell shock to the system. Yeah, it was a bit weird. But this test match has been absolutely fantastic. It's been a true test match. Yeah, it's been great.
Vanespa is a great name for your Vespa as well. So one man, five tests over 14,000 kilometres, one little yellow Vespa going the whole way across the country. Scott Stokes, really appreciate your time. Thanks for coming in and sharing the story.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
All right, a few minutes before we go to the latest from the ABC newsroom. So we thought, we've got this little hole during the lunch break. We think, how could we best fill it to give you some entertainment? And we thought, just about the greatest entertainer in cricket. Whoa. I think there's no doubt about that. Since his retirement, he's an entertainer, he's a commentator, he's a colleague of ours on the ABC. The great Phil Tufnell's back with me. Hello, Tuffers.
Hello, mate. Yeah, King of the Jungle.
So you won, what's it? I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here?
2003.
Yeah. 2003.
Captain on Equestrian Sport.
Yeah.
It's 14 years.
You did the dancing one?
You did the dancing one. I was robbed.
Okay.
I was robbed on that.
We don't get all the British version of these shows.
No,
here, but,
no, there you go.
But congratulations on your victories. Yeah. You might have to get any Australian versions.
Yeah. I knew I was in trouble. I knew I was in trouble on the dancing when my dance partner said, you know, dancing with you is like moving furniture, you know. So I knew I didn't have much of a chance in that one.
I've got some sharp questions here. These are the ones that you're used to seeing, sort of you're reading in the record or the budget or whatever it is that you see the sharp questions. First of all, who is Phil Tufnell? How would you answer that question?
It's a tricky one to start, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jeez, how did you get that one? Who is Phil Tufnell? Well, you know, I was just a little lad from North London, you know, played football in the winter, cricket in the summer, no roses on the rose bush, you know, gold mouth, not a blade of grass, it's just a mud. Thankfully, I had a mother and father who were very, very keen on sport and supported me all the way, so... took me to all the nets when it was freezing cold, stood on many touch lines, you know, and then got a bit of luck and played a bit of cricket for England.
Turned out all right. Yeah. Who gave you the nickname The Cat?
The Cat? Well, yeah, I mean, there's lots of different versions for that, actually. Out all night, sleep all day.
Yes.
Yeah, been caught having a wee in next door neighbour's flower beds a couple of times.
Do you remember who gave it to you?
Yeah, I do. Mike Gatton.
Yeah, right.
We had a fantastic Middlesex side. and, you know, we had Desmond Haynes, Mark Rampakash, Gat. You know, we had virtually... That Middlesex side that I walked into, you know, was virtually 11... It was actually 11 internationals. Wayne Daniel, Angus Fraser, John Embry, Paul Downton. And so we used to win the toss, you know, and the boys used to go out and get about 500, and I used to have a little snooze under the physio's table, you know.
How good.
And Gat said, right, you're a bit like the Cat.
First cricketing memory?
Well, as I said earlier, you know, sitting in my dad's car, Cortina or something, you know, Cortina Estate, going down to Brighton on a hot sunny day when I was about 4 or 5, you know. Sitting in the back moaning, were we there yet, are we there yet? And these wonderful voices just sort of like wafting through the airwaves, you know, Johnners and Arlott and everything. And that's probably my first actual recollection of a game of cricket, yeah.
Awesome. And now you're that voice on the ABC.
Well, I know. It's an absolute honour.
You said you grew up in North London.
Yeah.
Favourite football team?
Arsenal. Come on, the Gunners. Come on, the Arsenal.
The Gunners. Yes.
Come on, the Gunners. Nice. Doing all right at the moment, even though you've got beat by Aston Villa the other day, 2-1. If we can't win it this year, we're never going to win it, you know what I mean? But, yeah, used to follow them home and away religiously. Not so much now.
Yeah.
But thankfully, my mate's got a box there, so I nip down there.
Hey.
So, yeah.
Nice. Beautiful.
Don't get to watch too much of the game. But
a few of the lads, the current lads, are Arsenal fans. I think Ollie Pope's an
Arsenal fan, isn't he? Yeah,
yes,
good team.
Gunners games.
Good side, the Gunners.
Favourite TV show?
Oh, blimey. Favourite? Anything sport. Sport. I love all of that. I don't know, really. What's my favourite? Only Fools and Horses.
Okay.
Remember that? Only, you know, Del Boy. Yeah, and all sure. that. Yeah. What else? Yeah. My wife usually... We don't see too much of each other, really, because I'm usually upstairs watching the sport and she's downstairs watching sort of like Housewives of Beverly Hills or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you're watching...
Yeah, I'm watching the cricket.
Cricket from somewhere in the world upstairs.
Yeah.
Favourite movie?
Favourite movie? Pulp Fiction's a good one.
Okay.
Like Pulp Fiction. Saving Private Ryan.
Yep.
All that kind of stuff. Don't mind a little sort of war movie or a Western.
Yeah.
Like a good Western.
Okay.
A bit of Clint Eastwood.
Nice.
Wah, wah, wah. Wah, wah, wah.
You can invite 3 people, living or dead, to dinner. Yeah. Who are you inviting?
Oh, right. Okay. Blimey. Okay. You might not remember them. George Best.
Mm-hmm.
George Best. Oliver Reed.
Yep.
Do you remember Oliver Reed? And who else would there be? I'll probably go for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah, never run out of wine.
He'll tell some good stories too. There's no doubt about that. And what would be on the menu?
A nice freedom to start. You know, 3 towers of... crabs and lobsters and everything, and all the oysters like that, and everything like that. That would be a nice start. And then, probably a T-bone or something, or a roast dinner.
Yes.
Lovely roast dinner. You know, crispy roast potatoes, Brussels sprouts. Do you like a Brussels sprout?
I'm not as anti them as everyone else are.
No, I'm not. I think they get a bad rap.
I agree.
Yeah, they're nice, especially at Christmas time.
I think there's worse vegetables out there than that.
I do.
Yeah. Perfect day for toughers. What would it look like?
Oh, blimey. Perfect day. Well, we're not far off it in our season.
Yeah.
I quite like Australia.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit of cricket, you know, perhaps, a bit of beach and a nice bit of lunch and what have you. Nip back the cricket, watch Ben Stokes get a 200.
Hey.
And, you know, perhaps Will Jack's just 140 or something like that. And then pop out in the evening with the Duchess. My beautiful. She's over.
Cheers.
My Dawny's over.
I got to meet Dawny at the Grosvenor.
Yes, that's right.
Back in Perth.
She was looking after me back then.
Yeah,
and then go for a bit of dinner and then use your imagination.
Yeah, good. Toughest. Appreciate all of that. That's your little pocket profile. Hopefully gives our audience a little insight into the man they call the Cat. We'll hear from you during the second session.
Beautiful.
And right throughout the series, the great Phil Tufnell with me on Grandstand at Lunch.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.